I want to share with you this morning a few thoughts from God's Word as we prepare to fellowship together. If you have your Bibles, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning at verse 26. I want to share this morning on the topic, helping our brothers and sisters in Christ. How many know that if you're a Christian this morning, if you're saved, if you've been born again, then you're either a brother or a sister in Christ? Hello? So I want you to turn to someone and say, "You are my brother," that's if they're male. And if they're female, we have to give these instructions in these day and age, this day and age. We must give instructions. If they're female, say, "You know, you are my sister in Christ." Just turn to someone and just tell them that. How many know that we're called to help each other? We're called to help each other. Father, I just thank you for your word this morning. Pray as the word goes forth that it would be anointed of the Holy Spirit. You would challenge us, stir us, revive us by your word, Lord, today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Helping our brothers and sisters in Christ. We are a family. How many know that's true? We call it our church family. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 26, it says, "If one member suffers, all the members suffer with it." Can I say that again? If one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Or if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. So if someone in the body of Christ is going through something, we as the church are going to sense it. We're going to feel it in our spirit that someone is going through a difficulty in their lives. And I want to say a big thank you to all those who have phoned, visited, brought food to Chester and Gail during this very difficult time in their lives. And we know that this is probably the worst trial that they have ever been in or through. And it's our job to support them because we feel the pain that they feel in their hearts. Can somebody say amen this morning? We feel it. We are going to go through times of suffering as believers. Just because you give your life to Christ doesn't mean that every day is going to come up roses. There are going to be trials and temptations. There are going to be times that you might feel that God has left you. You're going to feel the pain deep inside of you because of the circumstance that you are facing. We're going to go through times of suffering. And the Bible says that oftentimes it's no fault of our own. Because we suffer, it doesn't mean that we have sinned. But it's God allowing us to go through these times. Yea, though I go through the valley of the shadow of death, he is with me. We're going to go through the valley of the shadow of death, but God has promised that he would never leave us and he would never forsake us. And he has given us a church family to support us in the midst of our greatest trials. What kind of trials? Go to Galatians chapter 6. There are many different kinds of trials that we're going to go through in life. That are going to cause great difficulty. And most of us here in this room know what I'm talking about. The Bible says in Galatians chapter 6, verse 1, brethren, I want to add sistren, if that's a word. If a man, I want to add here a woman or a person, is overtaken in any trespass. How many perfect people do we have here today? Can I see your hand? No one? Point to someone that you think is perfect. Okay. No one is perfect. Even as believers, God is still working on you and me to conform us to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. And sometimes we're going to make mistakes. Sometimes we are going to commit sin. Hello? We are going to engage in things that the Bible says is wrong. How many know there are still things that are wrong? And the Bible talks about them. We are going to trip up and fall sometimes. We're going to make grievous decisions that grieve the heart of God. And the Bible says, you who are spiritual, those of you that are walking with God, those of you that have come through your trials and temptations and even sin, and have been restored and brought back to spiritual life. Restore. You know, that's a word that I want to put into play in 2020. The word restore. I want to declare that word this morning from the highest place, the highest mountaintop around Creston. I want to declare the word in 2020, the word restore. Hallelujah. God is in the restoration business, putting lives back together again by the power of the Holy Spirit. Christians mess up. Pastors mess up. Leaders mess up. Aren't you thankful for the grace of God? That when we repent of our sins and ask for forgiveness. He cleanses us. He purifies us. He washes us. He restoreth my soul, David said. Hallelujah. And he doesn't just put us back together again. He puts us back together again better than we were before. That's how great God is. If we will give our lives fully and completely to Him, He'll put us back together again better than we were before we fell. Because you learn a lot of things when you make mistakes, hopefully. Restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Two men went into the temple. One a Pharisee. What did he say? I'm so glad I'm not like that other guy over there. I fast twice a week, give 10% of my income. I do this, that, and the other thing. I'm so happy I'm not like that person. And the other gentleman said, Lord, forgive me, for I am a sinner. Friends, but by the grace of God, there go I. We have to be careful because you know what? We can trip up and fall. We never know when we're going to land on the ground and we're going to need the body of Christ, the church, to help us to get back up. Hallelujah. Look at verse 2. Bear one another's burdens. Bear one another's burdens. When you see someone carrying a lot, you don't go and give them more. You go over and say, can I help you carry that load? Isn't that what God calls us to do? We don't just sit back and look at them and say, man, look at them struggling. Isn't that horrible? Look at them. They're just struggling. No, we don't do that. We see them struggling and we go over and we say, how can I help? What can I do to make the burden lighter? Isn't that what God has called us to do? We don't criticize. We don't tear down. We don't do any of those things, but we go alongside and we say, how can I help you carry the burden of what you're going through? I'm going to assist you, not just physically, but emotionally. I'm going to come alongside and pray and help you to carry this burden. The Bible talks about a word in season. The right word at the right time can bring encouragement and lift someone up. Hallelujah. All of those negative emotions are dispelled sometimes when a right word is spoken at the right time. Hallelujah. The Bible says, bear one another's burdens. You say, I don't know what to say. Sometimes you don't have to say anything. Sometimes you just have to go and sit with someone. Weep with someone. Cry with someone. Just be there. Your very presence is an encouragement. I know God is in heaven, and I know His Holy Spirit is here. Sometimes we need to see a real living body, human, that's going to stand with us and say, you know what? You and I and a whole bunch more, we're going to make it through this. We are going to carry you if that's what it takes. But we are going to stand and be in your corner throughout this difficulty and throughout this trial. You just need to trust God and the Holy Spirit who lives within us. You see, that's what God's doing in 2020. Not about crowds. Not about multitudes stuffed into a church building. It's about being a family. It's about uniting together, one to one, spirit to spirit. That's what it's all about, folks. You say, I don't need that, but you don't know what tomorrow holds. I hear people say that, oh, I don't need that. I don't need the church. But you know what? You don't know what tomorrow holds. You don't know what's around the corner. Only God knows. And we need people, humans, with the Holy Spirit living inside of them to say, you know what? You and I and a whole bunch more are standing with you, and we, if necessary, are going to carry you, but you're going to come across the finish line one way or another. Can you shout amen, somebody? Look at verse 3. For if anyone thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. You know, what gets in the way is ourselves. James chapter 5. I'm going to continue on here. James chapter 5. Now, for this to work, you have to not only give, but you have to be willing to receive. Can I say that again? For this to work, you not only have to give, but you have to be willing to receive. Some people have a hard time receiving when they're down and going through it. They don't want to appear to be broken. We've created a society that says, how are you doing? Everything okay? Oh, everything's great. How are you doing? Fine. How's everything going? Fine. How are you doing? Fine. But you know, most people, even in this town, it's not always fine. Things are falling apart on the inside. So we have to be willing to give, but we also have to be humble enough to receive when it's our time for God to pour into us. Verse 19 of James chapter 5. Brethren, now this is when things get really desperate. All the wheels have fallen off. And the body, the frame has been corroded. The engine has died. And there's just nothing more you can do to make it work. I don't know. Have you ever been there? I mean, it doesn't matter what you do. You can take it through the car wash. You can, you know, but it's still a wreck. It's a wreck. It's a train wreck. And sometimes there are those in the body of Christ, they've become a train wreck, and they need to be rescued. How many know what I'm talking about? I think there's a lot of train wrecks. outside the four walls of this building this morning, and maybe inside this building, there's some train wrecks. And friends, the only hope is rescue. You're stuck on the side of a mountain. Any hope of rescue by yourself and your own energy is gone. If they don't come in a helicopter and discover you're there, you're toast. If I can use that. You're toast. How many know there are times in our life that we need a Holy Ghost rescue? And these verses depict one of those times. It says, brethren, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and someone turns him back, let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error, hold it now. They're talking about unbelievers. No, they're not. It's not talking, because it says brethren. Sometimes we lose faith. Sometimes there are questions that we cannot get answers to, and we plummet down to the ground. You say, that'll never happen to me. Let me tell you, I've had a lot of questions in my Christian walk. Why did God allow that? Why did that happen? Why did it work out that way? Why did God allow me to go through that? Why is this happening to me? Why am I going through this valley? Why is this happening? Have you ever had questions like that, or am I the only one? I've had a ton of questions. And I have to be honest, sometimes I've been a little angry to God. I've never lost faith. But you know, there are people who have, because of all the things they've gone through. And they need to be rescued. And we're called as the body of Christ never to give up on anyone. They say, leave no man behind. Leave no woman behind. Leave no believer behind. Sometimes we have to send out a Holy Ghost search party. Oh, glory to God. Rescue the perishing. In this case, someone got off the beaten path. Start believing the wrong things. Started to lose out with God. And we have been called in 2020. God is preparing us to do search and rescue. Come on, somebody. We have been called in 2020 to do search and rescue, hallelujah, to find those believers who have drifted away, hallelujah, and rescue them, hallelujah, no matter how far down into the pit they've gone. Brethren, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and someone turns him back, let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his way will save a soul from death and cover a multitude of sins. Not about us anymore. About the team. You know, for a winning team, I grew up playing hockey, still watch it, and I know that to have a winning team, we There cannot be pride in one's own performance. Whatever's done has to be done for the team. Are you hearing me? You interview those guys, they're always talking about, well, if we didn't have so-and-so. Well, if we didn't have so-and-so. Well, if we didn't have this person. Oh, I don't want to talk about this guy over here. Because whatever is done for the team. That's the way the church ought to be. Hallelujah. We've got a team member that's missing. Let's go get them for the sake of the team and for the glory of God. Some people need to be rescued. They've fallen into a trap. I don't know how many hunters we have here today, but I'm sure that in your hunting you have seen an animal trapped, fallen into a trap. Foot or their leg, I guess their leg is caught. They can't get away. And you know, there are Christians like that. They're trapped. Someone needs to come and unloosen the trap. Break the chains. In the name of Jesus. By the power of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Greater is He that is within you than he that is within the world. Hallelujah. I'm closing. Philippians chapter 2. And this is it. This is where the rubber meets the road. This is where the rubber meets the road. Now they're just heading out, not because they don't like me, but because they're getting the food ready. They're getting the food ready. Actually, it'd be another 20 minutes. Philippians chapter 2, verse 3. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit. But in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Can I repeat that? Thank you. But in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. You, listen to me, you can't help someone if you think you're better than them. I want to say that again. You can't minister to someone if you think you're better than them. The Holy Spirit will not flow through a vessel to minister to someone if we think we're better than them. Come on, it's true, isn't it? It's impossible. Look at verse 4. Let each of you look out not only for his own interest. Now, God knows that things have to be done, right? You know, if you're away from the home all the time and you don't minister to your children, you're out just doing a lot of stuff for other people, but you don't take care of your own home, it's going to be a mess, isn't it? So God knows that there are certain things that need to be done in life. But it can't stop there. It can't always be about us and what pleases us and what benefits us. If you're going to be a vessel in 2020 that God is going to use, it can't always be about us. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also the interests of others. 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 Yes, there are things that have to be done in your home, but you can't stop there. Others. Others. If this is going to be a family, then we have to think about others. If this is going to be a place of unity, then we must begin to think about others. And you know what? You know what I found? This is amazing. Truly, this is amazing. When you help someone else, God helps you. And there have been so many things I haven't even prayed about for myself that God just gave it to me anyway. I didn't even ask for it. But I was so concerned about someone else that God says, I'm going to pour into you. He who refreshes another, that's King James, he who refresheth another himself shall be refreshed. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You can't outgive God. God is a living river flowing with mighty streams and falls. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And oceans.
Someone said, well, I want to get all my ducks in order first, and then I'll help somebody else. They're still getting their ducks in order. Man, those pesky ducks. Can't get them in order. Pesky ducks just keep walking away, waddling away. Can't keep them in order. If you're waiting to be perfect to help someone, you'll never help someone. In our imperfections, God uses us as an instrument of his glory and power.
You know what? God's doing something in this church that I have not witnessed before for a long time. God is bringing us together as one in the Spirit, in the name of Jesus. And when that unity is complete, we are going to feel his unction and power and glory in the name of Jesus. In fullness, in Jesus' name. It's 2020, folks, coming up. You know what? I don't have 2020. See? But now I do. Right, Ralph? Now I'm 2020. You know what? Some of us need Holy Ghost glasses so we can see what God is saying in this hour in the name of Jesus. It's coming, folks. I want you to know there is revelation that's coming that we've not understood or experienced before. It's coming from God himself and from his precious word in Jesus' name. Can you say amen this morning? So as we go to fellowship this morning, think about what God's word says, and let's put it in practice. We can hear it, but it's not effective until we put it into practice in the name of Jesus. Will you bow your heads this morning?